Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pearly Gates Ministries with your host, the Reverend I Am His Man Dreaming. Pearly Gates is a Jesus believing faith healing ministry, for it's more than just words. Today you can witness the power of Jesus Christ our Lord in your life. And now, God's man for this broadcast, the Reverend I Am His Man Dreaming.
Praise the Lord. Welcome. God's got something in store for you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Mother Leola just joined us. We'll be talking to her after a bit. Looking forward to that. Had some technical difficulties, but we got past it. The Lord has blessed it. Jesus' name, I thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Praise and worship. We give honor and praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God is great and worthy to be praised. And today, we express our love for our one true God, the love that the Lord never ceases. And always acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. One of the ways that we acknowledge Him is to praise His holy name, Jesus. Join us today as we praise and worship our Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to direct our path. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Galatians 3:22, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." But before faith come, we were kept under the law, shut up to faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are Christ, are one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you are all Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. This points out that the love of our God and why He is worthy to be praised. What the Bible is saying here is before you're saved, you live under the law. So if you sin, living under the law, then you're going to go to hell. You will not make it to heaven. But we see that the glory of God's love, when He says, "A faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster." And the Bible tells us that the law was our schoolmaster. But after receiving Christ by faith, you are now children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Being saved, we have Christ living in us, and us in Him. And if you sin, there is forgiveness if you ask for faith in believing. Hallelujah. Now, it also points out that Christ, we are all God's children. You are a saved soul. This having nothing to do with your race or gender. In Galatians 3:29, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, neither male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus." Now that touches on this, that whether you're black or white or any other color, a soul is a soul in the eyes of God, and there will be no prejudice in heaven. It's unreal to think how cruel people are today. But the Bible says to love one another. You will not go to heaven, not God's heaven, when you're prejudiced. Hatred in your heart. Well, I praise the Lord right now. I praise the Lord before all who are listening. I thank you, Lord, for loving me, for saving my life, for writing my name in your book of life. I'm excited that there is a heaven waiting for all of God's children. I've had great times in this life. I've loved the sunshine on my face, fresh air, the beauty of nature. But sometimes I have to keep myself contained when I'm thinking about that God knows me and He's preparing a place just for me, a house filled with the things that I love. I'm excited that the day will come when I'll see my grandmother again and I'll be able to give her a hug and look into her eyes. That's a loving God that gives us that, and He is worthy to be praised. And when we worship God, when we worship Him, you walk with God. God can't look upon sin. He never endorses it. The soul that sinneth shall never live, but will die. Without holiness, no one will see the face of God. Not people holiness, but godly holiness. Nothing less than holiness. Jesus came to make us sons and daughters. He brought everything in holiness to use, and it worked. When we see devils cast out, Jesus said, "In my name shall they cast out devils." The power of our mighty God is being channeled right through God's believers, those who abide in the Word. But if you have been saved, if you are saved, but you feel you're not where you want to be with the Lord, in other words, you know that what you should be doing, which is reading the Word, staying in it, getting the Word and the Word in you, and you're not spending alone time with the Lord, talking to Him and listening for His instructions, and you're not praying for others, or maybe you're not even praying for yourself. You might go one day to the next, a sin here, a sin there, but in no time did you stop and ask for forgiveness for all your sins. If these things are happening, then it will be safe to say that there's also chaos in your life of some form. That you may feel at times that you're being attacked from all sides. And if that's the case, then most likely you probably are. You're living without the protection from on high. When we sin, we push the Lord away because He can't look upon sin. It's time to pull the Lord back in by eliminating sin. When we get rid of sin, the sin factor in our life, then just like that, just like the April showers bring May flowers, when you get rid of that sin in your life, that's how we're separated from the closeness of the Lord. You then find a whole new life when you get rid of that sin. You find a whole new life that has been waiting for you. The Lord will take you to places that you never imagined. When you push away sin and you resist temptation, the devil will flee. And notice I said that you resist temptation. Some people think that all they need to do is ask the Lord to change them and recreate their mind. But it don't work like that. You have to be the one to step forward. Bring your sin to the cross, asking for forgiveness with godly sorrow. And when the Lord breaks away the chains that were binding you, it's up to you to keep up that courage that God gave you when He created you. You must turn from sin and just say no, no matter the sin, no matter what kind, and begin blessing the Lord, praising Him, and giving Him glory in His name, Jesus, the only one that can save you from the fiery pit, the only one whose name that the devil flees, that's Jesus. Hallelujah. When we praise the Lord, we're showing God our gladness, our thankfulness of who He is. In Psalms 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. And in Psalms 95, 1 through 6, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise that unto Him with psalms. For the Lord, a great God, and a great King above all gods, in His hand the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills His also, the sea His, He make it His hands form from the dry land. Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's the reason we praise the Lord. He's our Maker. He formed the land for us, His people. He made earth for us. So knowing that, feeling and seeing and believing, we honor God, we honor Him in praise. We honor Him by worshiping Him, glorifying His name. In Psalms 86:12, I will praise Thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will give glory to Thy name forevermore. Praise the Lord, for great is the mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. We praise the Lord because he's a God full of compassion. He's gracious, long-suffering. He's plenteous in mercy and truth. Amen. Well, Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, we don't want to be a fool. We want to be loved by the Lord and love him. Let's look at the birth of Jesus for a minute. He was born in a manger, a place where they keep the feet of livestock. For all modern-day purposes, you're talking about a barn. Now, he could have been born to a king. He could have had the best of everything, but he didn't. Instead, he was born into life as a peasant. And do you know why? It's because he is saying, I'm one of you. I'm not lofty, but humble. You don't have to look at me from afar. I won't be up waving out of a window to you. No, he walked where we can walk. He ate what we would eat. In all of his actions, he let us know that I'm with you. I'm on your side. I've got your back. I'm reachable. I'm touchable. A loving God. That is the very root of truth. Reality itself is God. It's not our daily habits or chores. Reality is nothing on TV. The truest sense of realism, the center of reality, is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is a real being, and we will all be face to face with him someday. And I pray that your side isn't on the one being judged and rejected. But that your judgment, I pray that your judgment was already at the cross, and that you have a life waiting for you in heaven. Those who have passed on before you, that have accepted Jesus as their Savior, they'll be waiting there to greet you with open arms, because we have a God that is worthy to be praised. In John 10:24, Jesus walked in the temple of Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. I mean, they're getting frustrated here because Jesus talks in parables. Those that know him and love him, we know what he's saying. But if you don't have that love factor, you could be confused by it. But Jesus said, and he answered to them, he says, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Now this is when you're saved and living for Christ, or you're seeking him, he says, you're going to know it when I talk to you. You're going to know it's me. So we pick up in verse 26, But ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now when the Bible says no man, now I personally believe means that not even you can pluck yourself out of God's hand. He says no man, not even one. And no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. Once you're saved, the glory of God, he's already started preparing a place for you in heaven, a new name written in heaven. We're heirs according to the promise. And that is that there be rulers of many nations and that they receive salvation. In Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for here is none other under the name heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. And in verse 10, they give us that name, the only name that can save your soul. It says here, Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand before you all whole. Praise God, God raised him from the dead. For those who don't know that much about the Lord, and if you've never felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's a feeling that you get all over. It's better than any drug or any drink. When you feel that anointing, you know, capital K-N-O-W, that God is real. All doubt is gone once you felt the touch of the Lord. Now there is anointing of oil, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a spiritual anointing. It's literally the touch of God. We've felt that, those of that follow him, I know that you felt that touch. Mother Leola, she's felt that touch of God, and that's why she knows that he's real. That's how we know that he's real. That takes the doubt out. When you feel that touch, it is unmistakable. We're designed, and we know God. Our spirit does. And when he touches us and anoints us, it brings everything back. It will take you from hoping that the Bible is true to knowing that it is. The only thing that limits the power of God is a lack of faith. And we know from Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that God is a rewarder that them that diligently seek him. So what does the Bible say about rewards? He makes these promises to keep us from giving up hope, to inspire us to persist in the face of trouble and persecution. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, thank you, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, one reward that we know, it's the ultimate, okay? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our greatest reward is eternal life. In Matthew 25:23, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The good news is that our labors and our sacrifices, they're not in vain. Our efforts will be rewarded. Even sacrifices made because of doctrinal misunderstandings, maybe at a church that maybe they're teaching something that's not quite right, but your heart is on Jesus. So even in sacrifices made because of doctrinal misunderstandings, Jesus says that whatever our motive is, whenever our motive is right, when our labor and sacrifice for his name's sake, that we will be rewarded. Rewarded for both now and forever. His reward is generously. But he also warns us that this life is not a physical luxury. We have persecutions, trials, and sufferings in this life. Just being saved doesn't mean it's going to be a rose garden. But you got the Lord on your side whenever things do go bad. But the blessings outweigh the difficulties by 100-to-1 margin. Whatever sacrifices that we make will be richly compensated, so that we receive this life is more, what the things that we receive is 100 times more valuable than the things that we give up. Jesus advised his disciples to store up yourselves treasures in heaven. By this, he impelled them that what we do in this life will be rewarded in the future. Heaven is a reward for our faithful living. But then we have rewards in heaven determined by our actions here on earth. And you may say, if you're in heaven, you may say, I wish I knew now what I knew then. You know, I would have been a better servant to the Lord. But we have the future to know now. We know right now your actions here on earth will reflect your place in heaven. In Matthew 5:12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, it really doesn't have to go into much details. When the King of the universe says that your reward will be great, it's out of our thought process to imagine what he really means by great. I mean, I can only imagine that would be, it's overwhelming. In Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. So according to your work will be your reward based. Blessed are they that do his commandments, but they that may have the right of the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. Now, can you imagine that when we enter into the gates of heaven? Just how awesome that'll be. one important thing that we must do as followers of Jesus, Christ, is we have to be true to our spirit. My dad always told me, be true to thyself. Our soul, the eternal being that we are, the destination rewards depends on our actions now, today, this evening, tonight. It's always to be true to our spirit. And one way to do that, and to try and be true to our spirit, is this, is to be heavenly minded. Having our sights set on heaven. When we're thinking about our future, our destiny, our purpose for creation, God made us. We were just what He wanted. We're not made as robots doing as programmed. We're individuals making up our own decisions. We have the power of choice. God created us, so we have the choice to choose to belong to Him or not. It's totally up to each and every one of us to decide to live for Jesus, to accept Him into your heart, to make Him King of your life. So that this loving God created us all and called us His children. He is our Father, and because He is love, He only wants to be surrounded by those who love Him, not just those who say it, but those who mean it. And you mean it, and you prove it by your means, by your actions. Prove it by accepting Him into your life and having faith and believe. Believe He is who He says He is. In Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast. I mean, it's that simple. By grace, you are saved through faith. Simply believe and be set free. We praise a God that will forgive us simply because we sincerely ask. We don't have to sacrifice any animals. We don't have to do any rituals. No hoops to jump through. No red tape. Believe and you have eternal life. And then when we're saved, we begin to work for God. Don't fall into the rut of day TV. Just watching TV and not doing anything. Because look, there's maybe a phone beside you that you can pick up, and someone's probably waiting to hear your voice. Someone you can call and encourage. Someone you can ask how they're doing, then pray for them over the phone. You probably know who they are right now. They might be on your mind. But we work for Jesus. We work as part of the body of Christ. We all have the means in some way to do God's work. And in the end, there'll be no excuses. The proof will be in the pudding. In James 2:17, even so faith, if hath not works, is dead, being alone. And it explains in this next verse that starting with just saying that you believe is not really believing. You won't be able to fool Jesus, okay? Because if you just say it and don't really mean it, haven't asked Him into your life to be your Savior, then there'll be no proof to back up your words. Because He says, if you love Me, and if you accepted Me, that's God in you, and you in God. If you're really His, then you'll be doing His work. He won't have to look too far to see what you've done in His name for the kingdom of heaven. So in verse 18, ye may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show you the faith by my works. See, He says, faith by my works. In other words, your works prove that you have faith. Therefore, you prove to the Lord, to Jesus, that you love Him. By prayer, by reading and staying in the Word. And if you're not, then look around you. I mean, how's it going without Him? Jesus brings us peace of mind. He gives us rest. So we're able to carry on whatever He asks us to do. I'm thrilled whenever the Lord, whenever I'm able to do His work, do the work of God. I feel the Holy Spirit assuring me and encouraging me and give me the words to say. Whenever I speak of the Lord, of God's word, that no man addeth or taketh away, anything said on this program is straight from the King James Bible. I would never knowingly speak for God. His voice is loud enough for all of us. His words are all that we need. It's about serving the Lord down here with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Everything that we are, we're designed to serve Jesus and the reward of paradise. Most beautiful than we could ever imagine. But it's fun to think about it sometimes. Think of all the beautiful colors, the many animals. heavenly minded. Praise and worship our Father in heaven while keeping our minds set on heaven, our destination. And when we go on a trip, say if we're going on a vacation, we prepare for that. We make sure that we're not leaving anything out. We go over it again and again to make sure. But you're here, your life, you're here to live the best that you can, to do all that you can do, so long as you do it in the name of Jesus, knowing that someday we will all have to stand before Him and give account of our life. Everything we said, did, and thought, all will be reviewed before God and His angels, and we will have to answer for them. And I thank you, Jesus, for the words you give. I thank you for not giving up on me, Lord. When it seemed I had forgotten you, thank you, Jesus, for always knocking on the door, never giving up. Thank you for always being there. God is good, and He's worthy to be praised. Pray with me now. Lord Jesus, I pray to you now, asking for you to use me however you wish. I surrender all to you. Come into me, Jesus. Brighten up my life. Let me feel your power, your spiritual anointing. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. So glad to have Mother Leola with us. We almost didn't. We had a lot of technical problems at the beginning, but we got her here now. Mother Leola, what do you know about praise and worship?
Well, I tell you, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. God is an awesome God. He's true to His word. He loves us unconditionally. And you gave a good sermon to the people. I hope they took it in. I hope they use it, because we are servants for the Lord. So we are to serve one another in whatever capacity that He tells us to go and do for others. Show love. Show love. You have to show love, because love is action. Love is action. And faith, well, like you said, faith without works is dead. You got to step out on faith, even when you don't understand, because God is going to give you the direction that He wants you to go in, and He's going to tell you what to do, what to say, where to go. You'd just be amazed at the power that He sends us, because He is God, and He is ever so real. I am a totally true witness to the power of God. I know He exists. He loves His Leola, and Leola loves Him. And I love Amen. You all that can hear my voice. I may not see you on earth, but if you make it into heaven, I'll be looking for you.
Praise the Lord.
God,
you got such a wonderful heart, Mother Leola. Amen. He just makes every day wonderful, don't he?
Yes, honey. I mean, you can just wake up and hear the birds and put a smile on your face and say, praise Jesus.
Amen.
When you praise Him, blessings come down.
Yes, they
praise
do.
Praise Jesus and blessings come down.
He's a giving God.
Yes, yes. He's an awesome God. I mean, there ain't nothing He won't do for you. I don't care what you are going through. He is so real, and all you got to do is, you don't have to call Him loud. Just say, Jesus, help me. And He's there. He's there all the
and
time.
And He is.
All the time.
Ask and believe.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Mother Leola. I'm glad that we finally got you on here. Everything went well. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for listening to Pearly Gates Ministries. I am your Reverend. I am His Man, Tremaine. And we encourage you, me and Mother Leola, all of us here, Pearly Gates Ministries to shout out from the rooftops that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen.